Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, asking for divine unction, divine inspiration, words from heaven that will not fall to the ground, but change us from glory to glory, even into a greater image of yourself. Father, we ask you to duplicate yourself inside of us. We may walk like you, talk like you, look like you, and act like you in every situation. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for coming. We're going to be talking about some things tonight that's very important. And I want to start off by telling a story. Back in the month of July, I was preaching in a little town in Kansas. And I had another revival scheduled in Lebanon, Missouri. And we closed on a Wednesday night, so we had Thursday night off. We want to start Friday night. So we went to Branson, was going to go there and watch the Samson Theater thing. And we booked a thing on a little boat to have lunch on. While I was on that boat, me and my wife, we walked around the rail, and I kept feeling like my watch was going to fall off in the water, or my ring was going to fall off in the water, or something was going to fall off in the water and hit the bottom of the lake, something valuable. Now, I had been on that boat a few years before, and we enjoyed it, so we went back. I told my wife, three times, back off from the rail. I kept sensing something falling in the water to the bottom of the lake. Understand, we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly. Sometimes all we get is a leading or a quickening. We'll make a long story short. We was there 4 hours before the storm hit that killed 17 people that wound up at the bottom of the lake. All during the time I was on that boat, I didn't really pay much attention to what was going on. I kept praying in the Spirit, So I prayed in the Spirit for about two and a half hours. Because I knew something. I couldn't tell, but I could tell something. Brother Hagin, my father in the face, it's like washing your feet with your socks on. Just something wrong. Something's not right. Well, so 17 people passed away. But the church I just came from, the guy that drove the boat had just been to that church. Now, what's the odds of this pastor friend of mine being friends with the guy that drowned that day? And me being there on the same day, 4 hours before the storm. I want you to listen to me very carefully tonight. I'm not here just to sermonize. But life is filled with tragedies. Demons, devils, and crazy people. And you need to be in touch when God has something to say. And so I knew something was adrift, something was wrong. Couldn't figure out what it was. So, but anyway, we went on to the theater to watch the Samson thing. And 27 minutes, it just is still, quiet. 27 minutes, a storm came up out of nowhere and hit that lake. 4 hours after we had left. We almost booked to be on the same big boat as they was on the small boat. We just fit it the other direction and took a later time to watch the show. Here's my point. God was not in that storm. People blame God for a lot of things. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Everybody say sound mind. And we don't know everything. I said we don't know everything. But it wouldn't have been very beneficial for me and my wife to be standing on the rail and see 17 people drowned. That'd be hard to get over. Are you listening to me? It was hard enough for me to get over the fact that I couldn't do any more than I did. I'm not taking any credit for anything, but all of them could have drowned. I said all of them could have drowned. Are you listening to me? I want you to know in this life we don't know everything. Romans 8:26 says we don't even know how to pray as we ought. We don't even know how to pray as we ought. But we're going to take the mask off the devil. When we don't know things, he likes to bombard our mind with what if. What if you'd have prayed harder? What if you'd have heard clearly? If you was more spiritual, you could have, come on somebody. That's not my job. I'm not the Savior. I pray for the sick. Many of them are healed. Some of them die. I do not get on the angst of the ones that gets it and the ones that don't receive. I'm not the healer. Well, if I fast more, pray more. Well, that's not it. You see, there's things you don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to the Lord. Secret things belong to the Lord. But he said those things that are revealed, they belong to you. So we cannot summarize on the things we don't know. The devil likes to get you to talk about the things you don't know, you don't have, can't do. We need to summarize and focus on what we do know. If I say do know, say it again. One more time. I do know, I said I do know that I'm a child of God. Beloved, we are sons of God now. I do know that. I do know that he loved me and washed me in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God. I do know that. I do know that my name is written in the Lamb book of life. I do know that. I do know, he said, I'll never fail you. I'll never let you down. I'll never leave you. Come on, somebody. Focus on the things you do know, and don't let the devil mess with your mind on the things you don't know. The battleground is in the mind. Faith has to do with a realm you can't see. Faith has to do with a realm you can't see. Now, understand something. You actually live on the inside of yourself. You're not just a body. You're a spirit. You're a soul and a body. Church offers jump from church to church to church trying to get answers. But the problem is, wherever they go, there they are. You can't outrun yourself. There's no such thing as a money problem. No such thing. It has to do with the mind and the heart. You can't give some people enough money to get them out of trouble. If you don't change your mind, change your heart, you just waste your time. So that's not the issue. Tonight I want to preach on being solid on things you know, understanding, and focusing on that. Philippians says, think on these things. Good report. Isaiah 26, I believe, verse 2 and 3, says, if your mind is stayed on the Lord, you'll stay in peace. Huh? So you choose what road you allow your mind to go down. You can be driving down the road. Just as happy, you know, get a cell phone call. Some problem come up. You begin to dwell on it. You become sad. Well, if thoughts will make you sad, thoughts can make you glad. You can go down the path road of pain. I know a family, bless their hearts, and all the siblings, when they get together, all they want to talk about is the way they was raised. Daddy beat me with a cotton stalk. Daddy beat me with a belt. Daddy beat me with a baseball bat. Daddy beat me with a long chain. And the more they talk about it, the more they stir up feelings of strife, envy, regret. I got a word from God. Let it go. It's amazing how many people are dominated in their thought life. The Bible says casting down a wicked imagination or twisted imagination. The word imagine means to form. To form. To form. You know, sometimes a spouse can be jealous of their spouse with someone else, and it's not nothing to it. I saw you wink at that piano player. Something going on there. Huh? I got an eyelash in my eye. She is ugly as homemade soap. I thought that was good. The devil can bring thoughts and images that's not even real. I'm amazed at how people quit church. You feed them for years, bless them for years, and some they know something come up and they gone. They allowed the devil with a twisted thought to dominate them. It got bigger and bigger the more they talked about it. You'll hear people say this, the longer I thought about it, the madder I got. Well, you're dwelling on the wrong thing. You choose what road to take. Now, I'm going to say a lot of things tonight. Got nothing in mind for anybody. I'm just preaching. But the devil tried to bother me when my daddy passed away. Devil tried to bother me when my mama passed away. When my daddy passed away, I was only 16 years old. And so when I see a drunk on the street after that, I say, God, it ain't fair. My daddy was a preacher, and that old drunk, he's still alive. Well, first of all, life is not fair. Are you listening to me? But you can't blame God. I said, you can't blame God. He's beyond being impugned. He has no faults. And so then when my mama died, it kind of tried to bother me, you know, death tries to bother me. We don't see it the way God sees it. A saint, when they die, it's not a sad deal, it's gain. I said, it's gain. We're going to get into some things tonight that will help you. It says in the book of Corinthians, about the 10th chapter, that godly sorrow worketh repentance, but worldly sorrow worketh death. Death. When you're depressed and sorrow and grief, death is working in you. If you want to show me a spiritual person, I'll show you a jolly person. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. I said, the joy of the Lord. All depression is thinking on the wrong things. Huh? You can go to counseling, you can take a pill. But if you don't change what you're thinking on, it'll come right back. That's the reason diets don't work. All the time you're on a diet, you're thinking about food. Well, I get off this diet, I'm going to go to Colton Corral and put them out of business. Well, give me some flakes, give me some sideboards. Huh? Come on, somebody. You're just dreaming for the day you can get off and go get that Twinkie. It's always on your mind. That's how I love Brother Dale. The way you're made spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Psychiatrists or a doctor's knife cannot divide them. It takes the Word of God to divide them. He said the Word of God is alive, sharper than a doctor's scalpel, two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder the spirit from the soul. Most preachers don't even know they're different. Spirit and soul is two different things. Spirit and soul is two different things. When I'm praying in tongues, my mind's unfruitful. My mind is disengaged. If your soul and spirit are the same thing, it can't be. You couldn't divide them. So the mind actually has the ability to contact both worlds, the natural realm and the spiritual realm. The mind is the door to the spirit. You either let it in or don't let it in. The Bible said in the book of Romans, carnal minded is death. I don't care if you're born again, spirit-filled, and hiccup in tongues. If you got your mind on carnal things, you got death working in you. Huh? Come on. There's nobody here perfect but me and your pastor, and I know him too well. He's not perfect. Amen. When a person passes from this life, the Bible said if you're a Christian or a young person, underage, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Present with the Lord. There's no waiting period. Once you step out of this body, you're in the arms of Jesus. I said, you're in the arms of Jesus. I said, you're in the arms of Jesus. So don't feel sorry for any Christian that's passed. Somehow or another, if you don't receive your healing, somehow or another you don't receive your finances, somehow or another you don't receive what belongs to you while you're here, you still win. We're still winners. And so those that died on that boat, one minute they're drowning in the water, but the next minute they're in the arms of the Lord. Somebody say amen. And tonight I want to clear up some things, because it took me a while. The devil likes to bring condemnation. Condemnation is a faith killer. It's a faith killer. If the devil can condemn you over something, you can't believe God because your own heart won't have any confidence. If your own heart condemns you, if the devil condemns you, then you can't have confidence towards God. Are you with me so far? I said, are you with me so far? Three people, praise the Lord. Sorrow is real. Feelings are real. I want to talk about thoughts. Thoughts. Thoughts are actually oftentimes supernatural. You can be sitting in church. Matter of fact, I was standing right there about 5 years ago, just worshiping the Lord, and Kojak Jr. was playing on the thing over here. You know, back then he had bald hair. Kojak, work with me. And we was praising God, and the pastor's wife stood up, and her purse was there, and the devil said, stick your hand there and see what she got in there. Me, man of faith and power of the hour. And the thought said, stick your hand in there. I said, devil, I don't do things like that. Try my wife. Just kidding, folks. Lighten up. But it's amazing how you have got to learn to cast down wicked and bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ, or bring it back to what the Word says about it. Huh? I said, huh? I was atop the Eiffel Tower when I was in my 20s. The Eiffel Tower actually sways. It moves. And I'm standing there, and I heard it say something, jump off. I said, devil, you jump off. I'm doing fine. Come on, somebody. He said, you got a suicide spirit. I said, I ain't got no suicide spirit. I'm fine. You the suicide. You the one got them hogs, and they committed suicide. Some of the goofiest thoughts will cross your mind. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, how'd that thought get in there? A little twisted whisper comes in the air. Now, listen carefully. Your soul is important. If I'm up here today preaching in Portuguese, you wouldn't get anything. Your soul has to assimilate and hear what I'm saying. The enemy came to Eve and put a thought in her mind. Well, if you eat this apple, you'll be like God. That was the thought that she fell for. Huh? Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, said, I'm a little afraid here that y'all's mind might be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. Sometimes people make it too hard. It's the easiest thing in the world to get saved. Easiest thing in the world to receive the Holy Ghost. Easiest thing in the world. God didn't make it hard. If he told you to climb the highest mountain or save up $250,000, then you'd be saved. Now, all you got to do is believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth. But you know as well as I do, you sitting back there under conviction, and the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, and the devil said, you know, wait a little longer. See, sow some wild oats. Have your fun first. He's the greatest procrastinator. Amen. Actually, Jesus made people mad when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me right now. Faith is always now. Religion likes to say, you know, in the sweet by and by, I'm liable to get some fire if I cry in the sky by and by. But God says right now. Everybody say right now. Right. Say it again. Right. One more time. Right now. Now, I'm not a funeral preacher, per se, but most people don't know what happens when someone passes. They don't realize what happens. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians, shouldn't die sick, but they do. Are you listening to me? But it's not a failure. Someone might have missed it, but don't count it as a failure because they still win. If they died and they were crippled, they ain't crippled no more. Huh? Are you listening to me? So turn in your Bible, if you please, to Psalm 116, verse 15. Psalm 116, verse 15. I've heard people say, I don't know what I'd do if my wife would pass. I just couldn't live without her. You just shut that up. If the Lord tarries, you may have to. I said, if the Lord tarries, you may have to live a while without a spouse. Don't look at me so holy. Every one of us has, I don't like to use the word lost, but we have had loved ones to leave. If you live long enough, you'll go to some funerals. If you live long enough, last January tried to bother me. My friend, Bill Bailey, me and him the same age, passed on to glory. 65 is too young to die. It is. It's too young. But somehow or another, he went on to glory. I preached his funeral. But he tried to bother me. We're the same age. I was in Missouri preaching many years ago, preaching for a pastor. The pastor was a lady. And her husband had come back from Vietnam. And all of his buddies in Vietnam had got killed. Every one of them. I think 14 or 15 buddies all got killed. And so he's back in the States, cried every day. Cried every day. Why he got spared and they all died. Years went by. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Now I'm free survival. And he just still bawled and was calling. I said, brother, you can't go on like this. He was feeling guilty because he was alive. Are you listening to me? Well, first of all, you're not God. There are secret things you don't know. I said, there are secret things you don't know. And so all you can focus on, what God wants you to focus on, is things that are revealed to you. You know where they're at. And all of them, talk to any of them in heaven, they wouldn't come back. They wouldn't come back if you begged them to come back. Huh? Have you a little scripture in Psalm 115? 116, verse 15. Can you put that on the screen, 116? Psalm 116, verse 15. I want you to get something because, how can I say this? Before promotions comes persecution. And most people fail in the persecutions. You'll never go beyond your persecution level. The devil's a liar that says you're not complete without a mate. Bible says we are complete in him. Don't put pressure on your wife or husband to make you happy. God gave them to you as an aid to help, but it's not their job to make you happy. I met two twin ladies, grumpy and grouchy. You couldn't make them happy. Work with me, people. Psalm 115, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Precious. Everybody say precious. Say it again. One more time. He doesn't see it as loss. He sees it as gain. He sees the transition as you've done your time down here and you're coming on to glory. The greatest example of this is when Stephen was being stoned. When Stephen was being stoned, he looked up and saw Jesus standing up. Saw the glory of God. I may go into detail, I may not. But what happens when a person passes from this life is actually the Lord takes his hand and takes you by the hand and holds you up and brings you into the glory realm. I thought that was good. That's seen almost everyone who dies say they saw a bright light. Stephen's being stoned, instead of picking up rocks and throwing them back, he stepped over in the glory realm and his face began to shine. Is heaven real? It is. It is. Someone said, well, I'm afraid I'm going to die. I got news for you. You are. There's nobody alive that lived in the 1800s. This is your time to bat. This is your journey. You should focus on finishing your fight, finishing your course, finishing your job, and don't be lulled over into wasting years of what if. If I'd have done this, if they'd have done that. Come on, somebody. It puts you in a place where you can't believe God, you can't get on with your life. A lady came up in the prayer line, bless her darling heart, crocodile tears are flowing. I said, sister, calm down. God's still on the throne. Ain't no use you bawling and squalling like that. She said, I lost Fluffy. I said, what? She said, my cat died. I said, when was this? She said, it'd be 3 years. It's October. I got a little southern. I said, sister, go to the store. Buy you another cat. Don't get hung up for 3 years over Fluffy. Huh? People get mad at me. Go to church. Brother Dale didn't shake my hand. What if I'm focused on something else? What if I'm trying to hear from God and you pull me over in the natural and we talk about, come on somebody, about cutting grass or something and you miss your word of knowledge because you, come on, huh? People get mad. I went to church over there, they wouldn't let me sing. We've heard you, you can't sing. They've done you a favor by not letting you embarrass yourself. Look at verse 16, please. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. O Lord, true, I am thy servant, I will thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Now see, when you read that, it feels kind of, but he's talking about in the transition of death. I never was so free in my life until I got run over by a car and was dead. This body is a decaying. The typology in the Bible talks it like the body of death, the body of death. They got that by when they conquered a nation, they'd take the king of that nation and strap a dead corpse to it. And they'd make him walk around with a dead corpse strapped to his body until the dead corpse got into him and maggots and he rotted and killed him. That's the description of your physical body today, the body of death. It was destroyed through the cross at Calvary, so you don't have to bear that. Come on, somebody. But if you yield to it, Romans 7 chapter says, you serve God with your mind. We serve God with our mind. We serve God with our mind. The essence of thy word giveth light. As the thoughts come in, it absolutely causes our spirit to rise up. Romans the 12th chapter said, I beg you, please, I beg you, get your body under control by doing so, by keeping your mind renewed. Everybody say mind renewal. Say it again. One more time. The word renew don't mean what you think it does. To renew means to go way back to the first Adam. He was the new one on the block. To renew, do you think Adam had any sense of lack? No. Before the fall, had no sense of need, no sense of worry. Everything he needed was provided in the garden. And so we should renew our mind that everything we need is already provided. And you can rest in that. Yeah, but what if this happens? Things will happen. But you stay over here in this realm, because if the devil can drag you over into feeling, seeing, thinking wrong realm, he'll beat your brains out. But if you'll stay over in the spirit realm, huh? Come on, somebody. If you'll stay over where the word tells us to say, hold up that shield, it'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. But if you meditate on it, think about it, sooner or later you're going to start talking it. Huh? When you start talking, you're going to start believing it. Amen. When I was 17 years old, my parents, my dad passed away, and my folks went out to Oregon, and I'm in Oklahoma by myself. And I'm 17 years old. And I found myself without any money. And I'm sitting at a restaurant watching people eat. I wasn't hungry. I was hungry. And I'm sitting there thinking. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Look in your billfold." Well, I'd have looked in there several times. There wasn't no money in my billfold. But I had forgot. About 3 months before, I did a side job and put back an extra pickup payment, $40. I'm sitting there hungry. I think it was the third day I hadn't eaten. And I found that $40. Whoo, Shandai, Rondai, the Holy Ghost came on me. Whoo. We go in there, we order a chicken fried steak, salad, iced tea. The blessing was there, I just didn't know it. The blessing was there. Have you ever read the Bible? And it just seems so far out. How can that be true? How can it be that I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus? How can that be true? You see, your mind has to get it before it gets into your spirit, man, and then you begin to believe it so you won't waver. Double-minded is thinking one way one time, thinking another way another time. That man receives nothing of the Lord. Here's my point. You're in charge of what you think on. Amen. You're in charge. Brother Hagin, you say your mind won't stay renewed no more than your hair stay combed. Your mind won't stay renewed no more than your hair stay combed. So it's an ongoing process of renewing. He said, by renewing your mind to the Word of God, it will transform you from a worm to a butterfly. Hallelujah. Everybody wants change, but change has to come. Why do you think that Jesus went through the Jordan Valley preaching? Because the preaching, when they heard it, changed the way they thought. They had no concept of God being a father. All they knew was a God of wrath. Huh? They didn't know a God that was a personal God. He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you can hear it in their talk. They said, well, if a man married and he left no children, and his brother married her, and seven brothers had her, in heaven, whose wife will she be? I thought seven men had her. Who would want her? But anyhow, he said, you're mistaken. He's not the God of the dead. He's God of the living. My daddy, we call him dead, but he's not dead. Mama, she's not dead. Huh? And did you know the Bible says when he comes back, he's going to bring them with him? When the trump of God sounds, you go, oh, there's Mama and Daddy and Grandma and Uncle Fred and Uncle Buck. And so we'll spend all eternity together. But the devil wants you to mull it over with grief and remorse. He's the master of condemnation and ill feelings. And all you have to do is change the way you think. But the devil, he's persistent. And he'll have one of your friends come along. How you doing? Oh, not too good. How you doing? Terrible. Before you know it, you talk about all the bad stuff. Here you come back up again. It takes something. It really takes something to say, sir, ma'am, I just don't want to talk about that. Huh? Well, just wanted to fellowship. No, you wanted to talk about people. Run them down. Oftentimes the flesh feels empowered by running other people down. Huh? Come on, somebody. That's not, the Bible says he's not your servant. That's not your job. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Okay, now look here with me. Next verse, please. He looses your bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Next verse, please. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He's talking about on the other side. He's talking about when someone passes. You'll finally get to enjoy every promise you ever made. And you'll be cast into his presence. So when someone passes, don't think of it as a bad thing so much as the Lord is right there with his hand to hold them up and to loose their bonds. What kind of bonds? This dead, decaying carcass you would call a body. You have to feed it and bathe it. If you don't bathe it, it'll stink. You think you're holy? We'll know about that about 2 weeks if you don't bathe. Need no discernment. We'll know whether you're holy or not. I had a preacher tell me, he said, brother, he said, I've already got my glorified body. I said, no, you don't. You got a zit on your face. Aren't you glad this is not your glorified body? Aren't you glad that you're going to go to the heaven and have a makeover and come out there and, brother, when someone says, whoa, you look good. Whoa, so do you. How you feel? Awesome. How you feel? Awesome. We have no earthly idea. Think for a moment. Where was God at 100 trillion years ago? How about a trillion, 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 trillion? How about if I stood up here for 1 trillion years and said trillion? He was still there. The Bible don't tell us everything. You don't need to know everything. But there's enough in here to have you full furnished as a servant. I would love to know more about the world that then was. I would love to know more about the world that then was. So I said, what you talking about the world that then was? There's a time on the earth that Lucifer run the earth. He had a kingdom down here. It probably went on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. The Bible don't tell us where demons come from. Some assume they're angels. They could be some angels. But it don't tell us where they come from. It could be they come from a pre-Adamic race. We don't know. The Bible don't tell us. So I said, where did Cain get his wife? I said, Sears and Roebuck. I don't know. It don't tell us everything. You don't need to know everything. Huh? Some things are secret. There's a lady in the Joplin, Missouri area. And she came to my prayer line. She's a good lady. And we prayed for her and I just couldn't get her healed. And I said, Lord, what is the deal here? He said, I usually don't tell you, but I'm going to tell you this time. He said, you don't need to know everything. But he said, I called her to support radio ministry 35 years ago, and she never has. Well, you think about it. God told somebody to do something for 35 years, and they're still dragging their feet. I'm in Illinois. I like to shock people. She come up for prayer for her finances. I went to lay my hand and I said, are you a tither? She said, no. I said, well, there's your problem. Ooh. That ain't what people want to hear. They want to say, God's a big Santa Claus and I just sit in his lap and he'll give me a toy. No, he has to operate by his law and his word. You know Zoe, you know Reefy. That's Beggarly 21 verse 2. I remember I have people sometimes have trouble to get the Holy Ghost because I had trouble receiving the Holy Ghost. Because my mind was this. I'll tell you right now, if I ever talk in tongues, it'll be God. Bless God, it'll be God. Won't be me. So, you want the Holy Ghost to get the Holy Ghost. It ain't going to be him, it's going to be you. It's you speaking by faith. As he gives the utterance. The utterance is the desire. You can stand there with your lips quivering, your tongue thick, shaking of the power of God, said, oh God, give me the Holy Ghost. He said, whoo, I'm here. You know speaky, you know giddy. In the act of speaking is what fills you. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As you speak, supernaturally, you're filled. You know speak, you know full. I got the Holy Ghost, I don't speak in tongues. Liar, liar, pants on fire. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will speak with tongues. I got three amens. Now, the new birth is a work of the Spirit. Don't misunderstand me. But the fullness is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, brother, that brings the anointing not only within, but with on. Not just in, but on you. You shall receive power after. Come on, somebody. And so I want you to go to Psalm 73 and verse 23. Because you need to settle this in your mind and never again spend days condemned, days sad. You've heard me tell the story, but it bears repetition. Because, I work altars. I hear people all the time. And most people's prayers are sad. And most people's prayers, that's why I'm so much into saying. In praying, you're asking God to do something. But in saying, you identify with what he's already done. Did you get that? And so Hannah in the Old Testament, she didn't have a baby. And so she's day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, she's crying, bawling, squalling. Don't you know she's a joy to live with? She wrote a country song, "I ain't got no baby. I ain't got no baby blues, wah, 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 wah." She's at the altar. You ever see anybody cry so much they can't talk? I have. At my daddy's funeral, I had cried for so many days, all I could do was just kind of snub. Couldn't even hardly talk. Done cried my voice out. She's at the altar, and the priest said, "Are you drunk?" She said, "No." She said, "I don't have no baby." He said, "Get up from there. You're going to have a baby." And as soon as she believed that, she was no more sad. Believing brings joy. Anytime you're in faith, there's joy there. If there's not joy there, you're not in faith. Amen? I said, amen. I said, amen. That's what drugs and booze does in a counterfeit measure. Most drunks, you see them singing, shouting to the wind, "Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling." You can tell how old I am. But the real is the Holy Ghost. Don't be filled with that kind of wine. Be filled with heaven's wine. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 73, verse 23. Are you there? Psalm 73, 23. "Nevertheless, I am contending with thee. I am contending with thee that hast holden me by my right hand." He's also talking about death here. "I am contending with thee. I hold you by your right hand." If I say right hand. Now, next verse, please. "Thou shalt guide me in the transition from this world to the next, and after receive me into glory." There's where I get, he reaches down and meets you at the point of death, grabs you by the hand, looses you from your bonds, and raises you up to your status in glory. Whew. 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 Is that going to happen to us if we don't die? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to meet him in the air. Huh? Turn there to Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. I want to read it to you. I just like reading it. Thessalonians 4. If you ever attempt to get down, go read Thessalonians 4th chapter. Y'all sure are quiet for Spirit-filled church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, you hear people gripe and complain. What if you had to walk 10 miles a day to get a drink of muddy water? Huh? Thessalonians. Look at the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Are you there, everybody? He said 4:13. He said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, we, the world, when sinners die, they ain't got no hope. But we have hope. This is Hope Assembly. We have hope. We have hope. I said we have hope. Bible hope is not earthly hope. Bible hope is expectancy. I expect the Lord to return because he said he would. I said he said he would. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's what it takes to be saved, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will come, God bring with him. When Jesus come back, every saint that ever passed away, your great-great-grandma, your great-great-uncle, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, they're all coming back. Come on, somebody. We're going to have a family reunion in the air. We're going to meet him in the air. We've sung it for 40 years. Well, some glad morning, I'll fly away. We're going to meet him in the air. We're going to be airborne, glorified. So don't be concerned about them to go to heaven. Down here is where the hot spot is. This is the scary place. This is the place filled with crazy people and goofiness. And it's amazing how goofy the world's getting. It is the Me Too movement. Let me tell you something. A lot of that is demonic. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. I said, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. I do not give media, I do not give reporters interviews. Why give them ammunition to shoot you with? Because they're going to try to find something, twist your words, and make you look like something bad so they can get an award for it. They're not interested in sharing your story. I made the mistake several years ago. TV come out and interviewed in our tent. We told them we believed, you know, that I had died and dead for 12 hours. And we believed in divine healing. Well, that night on the news, they broadcast it. And it was in the fall, you're getting close to Halloween. And she said, we have this man who claims he's back from the dead. And now has the power to heal. I didn't say that. But see, they don't talk our language. Are you listening to me? And so don't be so naive that they're trying to do something for you. They're trying to find some fault in you. He said, we the alive remains shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Look at verse 15. We say unto you, by the word of the Lord, who's talking the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain shall... unto the coming of the Lord, shall not forbid them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise heard. Then we were alive and remained, shall be caught up to meet him in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and shall ever be with the Lord, ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So when depression tries to come, and it looks like you're not going to make it. Hall officer, I tell you right now, I'm washed in the blood. My name is in the Lamb book alive. I'm a son of the living God right now. He never leaves me nor forsake me. He's for me. Huh? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. No man can pluck me out of his hand. Brother, I am sealed unto the day of redemption by the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't vote me out. Fire can't burn it, lions can't eat it, and Democrats can't vote it out. Nor Republicans. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. So he's the God of the living. The God of the living. The dead praise not God. Not here, but they do over there. I've heard several stories, because I was on the other side for a while. And heard Jesse the Planet say he went to heaven. And he was up there in heaven. Folks, heaven's a real place. It's not imaginary. It's a real place. There have been people who have died and been there and came back to tell the story. Have you believed that? Paul was called up to the third heaven. And the way Jesse tells it, he met David. David's in heaven. Rahab the harlot star. Just leave off the harlot part. Don't walk up to her and say, hello there, Rahab the harlot. leave it hard. And so David, he's talking to David, and David said, I hear you're a musician. He said, yeah. He said, I play the piano. And he began to explain the piano. David said, I know what a piano is. See, listen, we may think if he walked up to George Washington and showed him a cell phone, it would shock him. But if he's in heaven, it wouldn't shock him today. These things there you hadn't even seen. They're not in the dark. I said, they're not in the dark. Are you listening to me? Now, time-wise, we get so caught up in time. With the Lord, a day, 1,000 years, it's like a day to him. Do you ever notice the older you get, the faster it goes by? Because, see, when you're young, your perception is skewed. But the older you get, the faster it goes. You begin to see more like he sees. And so if you live to be 80 years old, that's just 2 hours to God. 2 hours. Some of you only got about 15 minutes left. How many remember when you was 15? Hoo-hoo-hoo! I had dark hair. Huh? I had a six-pack. Now I got a keg. Huh? Just kidding, folks, lighten up. But what I'm saying is, I'm 65. I don't know how I got here. Just a few days ago, I was in school. Just a few days ago, I got married. Now my kids has got kids. And my kids' kids is almost as big as I am. How'd that happen? Time goes by so fast. So we should focus on not things we don't understand. You have to believe God when you don't understand. You have to believe God when you don't have all the answers. He told us we don't even know how to pray all the time, but the Spirit knows how to pray. He don't say we don't know. I've been there. When I asked him, just show me something about this, he wouldn't do it. He said, that's none of your business. None of your business. You don't need to know everything. I said, you don't need to know everything. You've heard me tell the story. How the lady came up, I said to somebody here that's got a stomach trouble. She came up, we laid hands on her. She fell forward on the floor. I just stepped over. She hit the ground, floom, floom, floom. I'm thinking if it's God, it won't hurt her. If it ain't God, it ought to hurt her. Couldn't find out. She had a goat stomach. They had taken her stomach out, and she was living on baby food and crackers. If I'd have known that, I'd have backed up. You don't need to know everything. People come in prayer, and I won't tell you everything. I don't need to know everything. Huh? You don't need to tell it again and 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 again. Amen. Learn just to focus on what he tells us and not what Satan brings up all the time. I want to stand before God and say, God, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. This last January, I was home, or before January, and me and my wife had decided to slow down. I looked from about cover to cover. I couldn't find retirement in there. I would have wrote it if it had let me. There's no retirement in the Bible. And so we were thinking about slowing down. And the Lord dealt with us, and we opened a part-time office in Georgia. Now, you're not slowing down. You opened up a second office. Huh? We saw this piece of property, make an office out of, and I think she saw it on Monday. We left on Tuesday. I had the deed in my hand on Wednesday. I paid cash for it. The day I bought it, I made $30,000. It's worth $30,000 more than what I gave for it. You can tell when God's in something. 3 days, I had it. Aren't you glad that you don't have to ask the devil's permission? Aren't you glad you just obey God? I apologize, I'm keeping some of y'all awake. You know how many people like to sit at home and talk about what they're going to do? Never break a sweat. Huh? Never spend a dime. Huh? I listen to preachers all the time, what they going to do. And now they're 10 years older, another 10 years older, another 10 years older. Life's going to pass you by like lions on a highway. Just keep on going, just keep on going. Amen. So I'm going to finish for race. I'm going to finish for race. I'll live to be 90 plus, then I'll decide what to do. You know, Paul said that. He said, to go or to stay. If I stay, better for you. If I go, better for me. Okay, I'll stay and help y'all. You have a lot more to do with it than you know. Final closing. My mother wouldn't let me stay dead. She called me back. I was only 8 years old. Look what a life I would have missed. 45 years of preaching. Married the greatest woman on the planet. At least she thinks so. Got kids, grandkids. Touched thousands and thousands of people's lives. Got family in Arkansas. I wish I had more family in Arkansas. That Clampett lunch. First thing you know, old Dale's a millionaire. Isn't God good? Give him a good shout, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just stand on your feet, please. I want you to make a pledge. He said, he wants you to fulfill your vows. And the climax of your life will be when you're glorified, either through the rapture or by the grave. You go on the other side, you'll come back, and then you'll get your glorified body. But it doesn't matter, we're destined to have a glorified body. That ought to make you happy. Would you raise your right hand toward God? Would you say, oh God in heaven, I've heard your word tonight. Faith comes by hearing. I'll never have another sad day as long as I live. I won't allow myself to be sad. I choose joy. I lay aside the privilege of feeling sorry for myself. Those in heaven, they have no desire to come back. I'm feeling sorry for me. So I dry up my tears. Joy comes in the morning. I have it. I live my life full of joy, full of faith, and full of expectancy. Because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing few through. Now give the Lord a good praise, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Lord. I want you to finish your course. I don't want you to leave here early. If you leave here early, I'm going to have to take up the slack and do part of your job. The Bible said the laborers are few. Boy, he's right. He's right. Now, don't get mad at me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I would give $1,000 a day just to stay home. When I go home, my own dog bites me. If you walk to me and say, here's $5,000 to go on vacation, you know where I go? I go home. Home. Shave in my own mirror. Sleep in my own bed. In 45 years of ministry, I spent more time going than I have at home. Now, that don't sound much to you. But as you get older, you enjoy home. Huh? Little things like your own chair. That's my chair. Get up, woman. That's my chair. Why is the wife drawn to my chair? She's in the flesh. Does anybody need prayer tonight for anything? Anybody need prayer for anything? Prayer is just us agreeing that it's already done. Anyone need prayer? Thank you, Lord. Y'all enjoying revival? How many's learning some things? Oh, brother. Oh, brother. Oh, brother. There's things I won't let myself think on. They're saying, I just won't. I said, we're not going there, devil. We're not going there. We're not going there, devil. If you go, you're going for yourself, because I ain't going there. If you get offended, because you think about it, they offended. Well, what would little bitty something amount to anything? But the longer you think about it, the bigger it got. He has split churches with that. People have lost out with God over little bitty simple stuff. Amen. Now, I'm very frugal. Very frugal. We're not wasters. But we want to go faster, further, and reach more people. Amen. I want my life to count, don't you? I've had people write me letters and so forth, you know. Message touched them, changed their life. People are in heaven today that would have been in hell for the ministry. Not just mine, other ministry. But tonight as we receive the offering, I want you to make a deposit in ministry that others might receive the engrafted word the way you're receiving. Is that all right? Let me pray. Father, sir, tonight as we receive the offering, offerings are special to you. The first murder was over an offering. The devil hates because the highest expression of love is giving. God so loved, he gave. And so, Father, I thank you that your people here are giving people. They're a giving people. And their thoughts are not all about themselves, but what they can do for the gospel and for the ministry. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. As they plant their seed tonight, it shall grow up. And I'm leaving you, Father, for a hundredfold and a speedy return in their hands in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And everybody said,
amen.
Brother, if you'll come, the ushers, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you ever see yourself going down the sympathy trail, the little fat piece of meat there on your ear, take it and twist it. And talk to yourself. Huh? How many's ever been done wrong? Talked to, accused wrongly. Well, you can have a pity party. You can have a sympathy vacation, never leave the house. But when you do, you're handcuffed to the abuser. You're connected to whoever done you wrong. Break those chains with forgiveness. Forget about it and replace it with God's thoughts. Amen. Gentlemen, go ahead and receive the offering. By way of announcement, I suppose no, tomorrow night's our last night. And then we leave here and go to Georgia. We start there Sunday. Then we go there Sunday through Wednesday. Then we leave there and go to Bedford, Indiana, Sunday through Wednesday. Thursday, we're at the Drug Recovery Center, Thursday through Sunday. Then I go home. If the Lord don't change my mind, I'm flying to Edmonton, Canada. And so we got a pretty heavy schedule ahead of us. And things are popping. I said, things are popping. I said, things are popping. We'll be in the same church that Jesse DeFlans was in about a month ago. It's a pretty good-sized church called Word of Faith Church. They're in Edmonton. And I believe they moved out and bought a mall. Isn't it good when we start getting bigger and take over things and let God into you need Pharisees? Thank you, Lord. What'd you need the Lord to do for you?